Did you know that Saruman had a ring of power that he made himself? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. Here we cover great fantasy stories like The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire, and The Witcher in nerdy detail. Welcome. We first hear about Saruman's ring when Gandalf notices it early in The Lord of the Rings. Radagast tells him that Saruman wants to see him, and Gandalf tells the story later to the Council of Elrond. He says, "I rode to the foot of Orthanc, and came to the stair of Saruman, and there he met me and led me up to his high chamber. He wore a ring on his finger." Clearly that caught Gandalf's attention. He doesn't say any more about it, but the strong implication is that it hadn't been there before. Saruman hadn't worn a ring. What follows is that rather awkward conversation where Saruman tries to persuade Gandalf that they should join forces with, or perhaps submit to Sauron, or maybe betray Sauron. Saruman has a lot of plans going on, and if he can get Gandalf on side for any of them, that would be great. Saruman isn't a huge Gandalf fan, but knows power where he sees it, and Gandalf is one of the most powerful beings in Middle-earth. Of course, eventually Saruman descends to villain monologuing, albeit in a rarefied Tolkien way, and exclaims this: "I am Saruman the Wise, Saruman Ringmaker, Saruman of many colours." Saruman Ringmaker. Okay, so what's going on there? I think Tolkien clearly wants us to make the link between that statement and Gandalf's observation that Saruman now wears a ring, and he's proud of it. Well, let's start by looking way back in history to where this ring fixation came from. And first we have to acknowledge that before Saruman came to Middle-earth, he was one of the Maia attached to Aulë the Smith, the Valar concerned with crafting, like Sauron, incidentally, though he was then known as Mairon the Admired. Saruman, a name given to him by the people of Middle-earth, literally means man of skill, or perhaps craft, so his crafting skills were evident even then, and as the head of the Order of the Astari and the White Council, it made sense for him to take the lead on understanding ringcraft. After all, the Astari were there to aid the Free Peoples against the return of Sauron. They needed to know things like whether Sauron needed the ring to come back to power. How powerful would he be if he found the ring, or if he didn't? What control did he still have over the Nazgul, or the holders of the remaining rings given to the dwarves, or the three elven rings? How would they even be able to recognise the One Ring if they found it? And so on. So we read that the lore of the elven rings, great and small, is his, Saruman's, province. He has long studied it, seeking the lost secrets of their making. This led him to the archives in Minas Tirith, and no doubt many other places, and it seems also to do some practical experimentation. He was a craftsman, after all, and the Tower of Orthanc was far from prying eyes. This theoretical and practical study lasted centuries, and at some point his focus seems to have shifted from wanting to understand the ring to wanting to possess the ring. I covered Saruman's fall in greater depth on another video, but Elrond's wise words on this will probably do for now. It is perilous to study too deeply the arts of the enemy, for good or for ill. Saruman studied the arts of the enemy too deeply and for too long. So Saruman turned from trying to study the ring to trying to get the ring. We know he searched for it in the place it went missing, the Gladden Fields, and he even seems to have found the remains of Isildur's body, though the ring itself was long gone. It was with Gollum by then. We read in Unfinished Tales that Saruman had removed from Isildur's body a small case of gold attached to a fine chain. It was empty and bore no letter or token, but beyond all doubt it had once borne the ring about Isildur's neck. And he also found the Elendilmir, the ancient elvish crystal Isildur had carried with him. Tolkien concludes that Isildur must have fallen not into the deep stream but into shallow water, no more than shoulder high. Why then, though an age had passed, were there no traces of his bones? Had Saruman found them and scorned them, burned them with dishonour in one of his furnaces? If that were so, it was a shameful deed, but not his worst. But as I said, he did not find the ring. He did not give up then, though, scouring the Shire for it when he noticed how often Gandalf visited there, and obviously in the main story sending an orc warband out to hunt for the Fellowship. They returned part of the way with Merry and Pippin. Right idea, wrong hobbits. But all the while, Saruman had another plan. If he couldn't find the One Ring, he would make his own ring. Tragically, we don't get any details of his work there, whether the ring he wore was his first or just the latest of many attempts, or what powers it might have held. If I had to guess, it makes sense that it imitated in some way the One Ring that he was so desperate to get hold of, which means that it was about power and control. The One Ring was forged in order to control the holders of the other, lesser rings of power. Some have suggested that perhaps Saruman's ring amplified his existing powerful voice. That makes sense in a way. Gandalf warns his companions to beware of Saruman's voice, and it certainly seems to have the power to persuade and command the weak-minded, and even some of the strong-minded. But perhaps it also helps him command his army from afar. He noticeably stayed far back from combat himself. Either way, this is about control, and is another example of Saruman imitating Sauron and coming up short. His tower was a fraction of the size of Barad-dûr, his army a fraction of the size of Sauron's. As Tolkien caustically puts it, "All those arts and subtle devices for which he forsook his former wisdom, and which fondly he imagined were his own, came but from Mordor. So that what he made was naught, only a little copy, a child's model or a slave's flattery of that vast fortress, armoury, prison, furnace of great power, Barad-dûr, the Dark Tower, which suffered no rival and laughed at flattery, biding its time, secure in its pride and its immeasurable strength." Given that we don't hear any more of Saruman's ring, and it doesn't seem to have helped him at all when Gandalf broke his staff and power after his defeat, I think we can safely say that, although it was a magic ring, it was a long way from being a full ring of power. I'd personally put it alongside the rings that were crafted by Celebrimbor and Anatar in Eregion in the Second Age, in the decades and centuries that they were making rings before they perfected the art in the rings of power that we know. Gandalf called those first magical rings essays in the craft. He viewed them as not to be trifled with, and potentially dangerous and definitely magical, but not game changers. In fact, he seems to have initially assumed that the magic ring Bilbo emerged with from the Misty Mountains was one such ring. It clearly had the magical power to make him invisible, and perhaps other powers, and Gandalf kept an eye on it, but that's about all. Saruman's ring was probably like that. It had power, and concerned Gandalf, but not enough for him to really focus on it, given his other priorities. He was seemingly less concerned by any power it might actually have than the implications of Saruman having decided to craft a ring in the first place. If Saruman's studies had led him down that path, it only meant bad things. At which point, you might think that this is therefore much ado about nothing with Saruman crafting rings, but nothing could be further from the truth. Gandalf sensed the importance of the ring Saruman had made, and Tolkien also mentioned it in passing in the introduction to The Lord of the Rings. He's clear that Saruman might not yet have crafted a ring of power, but that wasn't because of a lack of ability. He just hadn't worked out all the details yet. Tolkien hypothesizes what might happen if Sauron were defeated by someone using the power of the One Ring and Saruman survived. The holder of the ring would clearly in time set themselves up as a Dark Lord themselves, but Saruman, well, this is what we read. Saruman, failing to get possession of the ring, would in the confusion and treacheries of the time have found in Mordor the missing links in his own researches into ring lore, and long before he would have made a great ring of his own with which to challenge the self-styled ruler of Middle-earth. So, yes, Saruman had made a magical ring, and yes, it probably was only just an essay in the craft, but that's not really the main point. It's that Saruman had started down a path that would lead either to his death or to him becoming a Dark Lord himself. He had the power to make rings of power himself, and he had some of the knowledge, but not all. That lay in Mordor, and if he ever got access to that, his ambition would know no end. If you'd like to see more videos on the world of J.R.R. Tolkien and The Lord of the Rings, please click on the link to the playlist on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. Thanks for watching. That's all for this time. I'll see you again soon.